Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Oh, man, I really appreciate you being here with us today. We are going to be talking about the criminal justice system. We're going to be talking about our young people. We're going to be talking about all the issues and things that happen. We're going to talk a little bit about the family I've been working with and how we've been trying our best to help them get through this and how they are a resilient family, and I really pray and hope that they can make it through. But even more importantly, we're going to be talking about so many of the issues that our families are dealing with. I just got a call from a grandmother that told me that she has custody of four grandchildren. All of them are off the chain. They cussing, smoking cigarettes, smoking weed, trying to take over the house. They're only 12 and 13. And she is in an uproar. She doesn't know what to do. We got situations out here, y'all. We need answers. We need help. We need support. We need something to change in our system. We're just looking at how the juvenile justice system flowchart works. As you get apprehended as a juvenile, you go to juvenile court. If you're under the age of 10 at times of the offense, a child can be put in protection services. Or age to 10 to 17 at times of offense, you can go to trial. If you deny the offense, if you say you admit the offense, you can go to disposition hearing and complete the disposition and probably be released. I mean, this system is clearly not working for everybody, and it's kind of tough because we've got a system that doesn't quite work, and we need to figure out how to make the system work. You listen to Blog Talk Radio, National Mad Dads. I know I got right into the heart of things. I didn't even introduce to you my producer of the show. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm good. I really learned a lot checking out some of the stuff on here for this show, and I'm shocked.
And what are you shocked about?
But, you know, I hate to say it, but kids are smart these days. You know, at 12 years old, they know that they're not going to get, you know, hardcore prison time, even if they were to kill somebody. And I think that these smart kids these days are taking advantage of that. Maybe not the kids. Adults that know better are influencing kids that, you know, that they know aren't going to get in trouble. So this 18-year-old could be over talking to this 12-year-old, hey, man, just take this gun right here, shoot a little boy over there. You'll be cool. You ain't going to jail. You're only 12.
And that's
not cool.
No, it's not cool, but it's not what men do. Men have never, now this is the thing, that's the difference between a boy and a man. A man would never send a boy off to do a man's job, okay? Yeah. In the history of gangsters and thugs and hoodlums, we've never sent a kid to kill anybody. We've never designated a kid to kill anybody because we knew that we were the protectors of our children, we were the protectors of our kids, and that was our job and our role to protect our babies. And we have not done that. Because adults now, 18 and over, are leading our kids astray. You have two baby girls. There is some man or woman out there, as soon as they get old enough, willing to show them how to steal, teach them how to rob, show them how to use a gun, and show them how to be thieves, and show them how to be criminals. As soon as you go to work, they can't wait to influence your kids.
That scares me. It scares me so bad.
But the fact is that you have to be able to have discernment and to understand when your kids are in the elements of danger. You have to be able to do that. We got somebody on Blog Talk that wants to say something. 5737, you're on Blog Talk Radio with National Mad Dads. How you doing?
How you doing, man? It's Alonzo with the Minneapolis Mad Dads. I really can't talk that much, but You know, I do want to let you say that, BJ, you're absolutely right. Real men in the community, when I was growing up, they didn't send me out for their work. They pushed me to go to school, you know what I mean? But they didn't send me out. I made choices, you know what I'm saying, to when I got older. That wasn't one of the things we did as gang members. We don't focus on the kids and how we can use them because we're so afraid. And that's the thing. Y'all, young men and people need to understand that the new gang members are cowards. They're afraid of jail. They don't know how to do time. They don't want to do time, so they're going to send your kids to do it, thinking that it's not going to cost them anything later on in life, and it is. And about the couple, the little kids that are smoking weed and disrespecting their mom at the age they are, we need to get together as a community like back in the day, you know what I mean, and come together and be there for them kids, man. You know, back in the day, when I was 5 or 6 blocks away from my house, my mama knew the lady lived down the street or lived on them blocks, and she could have a phone call with me, and we got together. You know, a lot of these people think that they can grow. You know, that's what they say, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes people,
right,
enough people in the community to come together and help one another to raise these kids. You can't do it by yourself. Whether you want to believe you're smart, you might have a PhD, you still can't watch your kids 24 hours a day. And I'm telling you, there's guys out there who are looking for some kids to manipulate, to help them sell their drugs, to run in the stores, to steal. You know, these guys stealing phones, snatching people's phones, thinking they're making some money, selling these phones, giving these phones to these guys for $20 a bag of weed, man, like crackheads, man. You know, so it takes a lot, man. But it takes us as a community to come together and work together, you know, and work together and put down our hats. Just, I'm running this part, I'm doing this part, I'm doing that. And get out here and let's get this community together, man, so we can focus on the rest of the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me ask you something. You know, what do you think the biggest problem is with our kids right now? We have so many that are hurting, and like you said, they're stealing cell phones, they're breaking in houses, they're snatching purses from old ladies, they're selling weed, they're shooting people just because they didn't pay them back for their little $5, $10 bag of weed. They're doing senseless violence. People are going to the hospital, man. I had a guy the other day, man. He had 15 stitches in the back of his head, and they beat him, followed him, beat him in the back of his head. He was homeless. He only had $1.23 in his pocket, but he had to get $6,000 worth of surgery done on the back of his head.
I mean, like it's weed the new crack, man. These people thinking that weed is his thing. They listen to it in the radio. They listen to it, you know, they on movies. And everybody making it look like weed is supposed to be this special drug that should be legalized. But it's just addictive. And honestly, I smoked weed when I was growing up, and all it took was a joint to get me high. Not $100 a day habit to smoke weed. That's crack, man. I'm a recovering crackhead. I used to get high. I had a $300 a day habit. These are the things that I had to do to get high off of crack. So now you're telling me this is what the kids doing. They're talking about they not crackheads. This is the problem. Everybody's starting to think that it's okay to smoke weed when it ain't. It's a gateway drug for bigger drugs. Just think about it. I started smoking weed when I was at 9 years old. By the time I was 15, I was shooting cocaine. By the time I was 19, I was smoking crack. It's a gateway drug. But if they smoking it now, what type of drug are they going to have to use to get high off of to get them through the day in the next couple of years? You know what I'm saying? So
that's
at some
right.
point, so at some
that's
point,
right, brother.
We got to get these kids to understand that, hey, weed is not helping you. Weed is
all these guys on the street, you know what I'm saying? But that stems from us as role models starting to step up, man. The men in the community need to step up and be real men and let these young brothers know and these young ladies know. Because most of these young ladies only running up behind these young guys, and these young guys running up behind some fools who think they men, but they not tough enough to get a job and work every day. They cowards. They'd rather hide in the alleys and run around the streets. Because I used to be that coward. It was a lot. I thought it was easier for me to sell a pack than it was for me to get a job and be there for my kids. You know what I'm saying? But in the long run, I was a sucker because I thought that I was doing something with my life. But I wasn't doing nothing but wasting time and wasting my life. So now I'm mad dad, and I'm giving back to my community, and I love it every day, man. Actually, I miss it. I feel withdrawn from the community right now, from the things that I've done.
But you're giving back, and you're giving back in a big way. And your daddy took you to the doctor today so you could get better. So thank God
yes,
for your daddy,
did.
Boy.
And
let me tell you something. You can't go wrong when you listen to your daddy. You listen to Blog Talk Radio. That was my son there. That was my son, Lonzo. We got somebody else on the line. Thank you, Lonzo, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you, Marco. Keep doing what you're doing, son. Hey, 7329, Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about the youth in our community. 7329, how you doing? You're live on Blog Talk Radio. You push one. That means you want to talk to us. Erica, you know, we're going 7329. Give you another chance. Okay. Whoever that is, they were blowing their nose or doing something. But in Minnesota, the juvenile justice system differs from the adult criminal justice system in several ways, including some of the terminology that is used. For example, an adult is arrested by police, charged with a crime, found guilty by the court, sentenced to an adult correctional facility, and incarcerated for a specific period of time. A juvenile is apprehended by police, petitioned for an offense, found to have committed an offense by a court, and receives a disposition to be placed in a juvenile correctional facility. Now that's different, right? That's different from normal ways. That's a little different, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like they're trying to take it easy because they're kids. But their mindset these days, kids' mindset these days aren't kids' mindset anymore. They think they've got a grown mindset now. And I don't know. I think it's society, TV, radio, the internet, all this technology. All these kids are thinking that they're grown by the time they're 9 or 10 years old.
Okay, but the kids have to get some information from somebody to think that they're grown.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you got a kid and he thinks he's grown, then evidently most of the time when I was growing up, I heard the word, boy, you ain't grown. Get the hell up out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Go sit yourself down and act like a little boy.
Yep, go play with toys, get out of grown people's face.
Right, all that stuff, you know. Your daddy wasn't no glass maker. You need to move on out of here and do what you need to do. You know, all that stuff I used to ask, what's the glass maker? I didn't understand that, but I knew it meant that I need to step on off.
Move around.
And then I need to do something different. I knew that. And as a kid, I knew to stay in a kid's place. And I also knew that violence wasn't a part of my life. And as a kid, I was supposed to just play and enjoy life. But our kids don't get to do that because they go home hungry, they go home starving, and they go home and nobody's there. So they go out and do what they have to do because mama's smoking crack, mama's on heroin, daddy's on drugs, or at the liquor store, or everybody's out in the block doing their thing. We're going to our caller, 0394. How you doing? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, National Blog Talk with Mad Dad.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, there goes Mama Trees. How you doing, Mama Trees? Did you hear what we're talking about today?
No, I didn't.
Well, good. We're going to tell you. We're talking about the fact that I just had a grandmother call me, and all three of her grandkids are going crazy. They're 10 to 14, smoking weed, shooting people, robbing folks, doing all kind of stuff. She doesn't know what to do. The mama doesn't want them. She don't want them. She's too old. Our kids are going crazy. We have an epidemic. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, tell the mother to stay in prayer for one thing, and don't give up on her babies. And it's people like me that want them. So I can give them words of encouragement, and I can give them resources. It's steps that they'll have to take to know better, to do better. And it won't be an easy task. It's going to be time-consuming, and I'm not giving up on them babies. Tell her, give her my number, tell her to call me, and I'll deal with them on a one-on-one thing.
Okay, well, Emma got the number.
10 to 14?
10 to 14. Emma's got that number. Listen, here's the other thing here. We got some 18-year-olds, some 19-year-olds, some 22-year-olds, some 24-year-olds that say, I don't have to go to jail. All I got to do is send my shorty. I'm an OG. I'm a big G. I'm that. So all I got to do is send little Ray Ray, little JJ. Let them do the dirty work. They're out there shooting. They're out there robbing. They're doing it under the direction of their OG. What kind of man would do that?
What kind of – it's not a man, because a man wouldn't do nothing like that. And to me, that's just in a grade of just – it's just stupid. It's just stupid because there's consequences on everything we do in life. And if you send your child out there to do something like that, you best believe if it don't come back to you, it's going to come back to you one way or the other, and you're going to pay for that. Because God don't honor nothing wrong, and that's just straight wrong. It's just straight wrong. And you can sit up and give your baby a gun or give your baby some drugs to sell, and you think it's okay, you're going to have a many a night you ain't going to sleep. You playing Russian roulette with your baby's life. You're not no father, and you're not no mother.
Well, you know, they're certifying you as adults, and the courts have ordered that juveniles who are age 14 or older at the time of their offense, who is charged with a felony, be certified as an adult and try with criminal or adult court, and juveniles convicted of an offense in criminal court receive adult sentences. Now, juveniles charged with first-degree murder, which includes premeditated murder, who were age 16 or 17 at the time of the offense, are required by Minnesota statutes to be certified as adults and sent to criminal court where they receive an adult sentence where they're found guilty of an offense. So many of our prisons. I just talked to a brother just got out of prison. He said, man, they so young up in there, man. They so young up in there, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're crying in there like babies. But on the streets, they tough. They got guns. And when they get in that prison, he said, man, it's sad. All we can do is tell them to get their GEDs, man. Tell them to get their education while they're in jail. That's all we tell them, but they ain't listening. So them babies need to listen to us older folks. They need to listen to us and learn from that. Otherwise, we're going to lose so many of our people.
Yeah, so many of our babies. And maybe them getting incarcerated, God might be making Odeff behave. But I just feel that these parents, it's a sad thing when you sit up and say parents have leadership and we just have went just straight wrong. It's like we're not thinking. It's like we're not caring. It's like we're not wanting. And it's a sad thing because it's a lot of young adults. And half the ones that I have met, it's no reason to talk to them because they think they know. They go tit for tat with you. And these kids ain't lived in this world long enough to know anything. When I'm 50 years old and I'm still learning. I'm still learning. And it's a sad thing when they think they know. Half these young girls don't even know how to comb their hair. Half these young girls don't even know how to cook. Half these young girls don't even know how to hold a decent conversation. But then they want a power struggle with the wise, the elders. And we have elders out here, young people, that will give you guys an encouraging word, that will tell y'all, this says the Lord. All you got to do is open your eyes and open your ears and get wise about this.
Amen. Don't start preaching now. Listen, we are listening to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads. I want to thank you, Mama Treese, for tuning in. Don't you go nowhere. We'll come back to you. Now, I want to talk a little bit about possible signs of psychosis. We talked about this. We learned about this. Psychosis. Say it again.
Psychosis.
See, I can't do it. It's for that word.
You're trying to
say it again.
Psychosis.
Got it out. Woo! That was hot, but I got it out. It can include keeping one to oneself, avoiding social interaction, having odd interests and beliefs. For example, you see UFOs, or reading the future and other displays of losing touch with reality. The person could also withdraw, show contempt for others, a sign that he or she is losing positive relationships. Another symptom may be loss of sleep because of brain chemistry changes, says Dr. Dennis Emery. And sometimes these are mere signs of eccentricity. Okay, The difference is that the person at risk from psychosis is suffering, and the quirky but healthy person is content. So there's some mental health stuff going on with our young people. There's some stuff that we're suffering from a mental health standpoint. I'm going to go right to another caller, 4181. How you doing? And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. 4181, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Brother VJ. Brother Will here, brother.
Hey, Brother Will, man, listen up, man. Let me just share this with you. We have a brother that really desperately wants to get in. I just talked to him, man. He's with all calls. He's ready. But more important than that, there's something going on, Brother Will, with our young people. There's something happening, man, and we can't just blame one thing. What's happening with our young people?
Well, I just heard the last end of you talking, my brother. That mental health piece is really an issue that we need to address with our young people, especially those ones that I deal with that is in active violence and doing violence and have come from strings of family of violence. And, you know, the number one thing with these young brothers, they quick to say when you say, well, I'm going to refer you to one of my friends who's a mental health practitioner. Well, I'm not crazy. You know, that's the first question. I'm not crazy. And I tried to explain to them it's not about being crazy. It's about healing. It's about taking some of that toxin that's inside of you and cleaning your body out. Because if you don't clean it out, man, you're no good for yourself, your family, or the community. So we got to continue to address that mental health piece, man, because if not, man, we're going to continue to see these young people, man, continue to make bad choices, man. So I'm glad that you're talking about that mental health piece and how do we heal them, you know. And so that's what we've been talking about with the guys in our group, about self-healing through love and peace, and get them to address that, man, because it's important.
Do you think it's something in the marijuana that is mentally disturbing our young people? Are they putting something in that marijuana?
Well, V, what I have been seeing, it's either the marijuana or those blunts that these young people are using, because I'm thinking it's addicted because they're constantly going back. They're buying more weed now than there are cocaine, and it's got to be something that is inside of them that's keeping them going back. And so, yes, I believe it's something in. It's either the marijuana or the blunt that keep our young people's going back.
You know, one of the things, as you work with the young men, I think you're at 72 young gang members that you've been able to touch their lives and turn them around.
I'm at 83 right now.
You're at 83 right now. With 83 of those young men, what would be the biggest, you know, I know there's a number of challenges, but the biggest challenge, what is the biggest challenge you're dealing with when it comes to those 83 men?
Well, I think the number one issue, man, Vijay, that I'm seeing, is getting them to understand who they really are as a people. Getting them to understand who made you believe that you are not important. Who made you think that being black is not beautiful, or just being a young person that's not beautiful. And so, and it goes back to the mental health piece, man. These guys, they don't believe they are dealing with symptoms from violence, but it shows all the time. So that's my biggest one challenge is the mental health piece. Now my second piece would be the uses of marijuana.
So that's serious business there. And a lot of people say, oh man, marijuana ain't nothing. It don't hurt nobody. But anything that makes you want to hurt somebody. The brother that got killed over there was robbing a dude that sold marijuana. He was robbing him. It was his birthday. He was robbing him to get his marijuana. Now, if you really kill somebody over some marijuana, that's a problem. That's a problem. Yeah. It's a serious problem. And we can't just look at marijuana like it's okay. We need to legalize it. It's all right. People are dying because of marijuana. And if somebody's dying because of a drug, it's evidently there's something wrong with it if it's committing that thing called homicide. We don't need that. Hey, Will, I appreciate you, man. I'm glad. I appreciate all you do. I'm going to text you this number so you can talk to this young man. He's standing by the phone waiting to hear your voice. And I thank you, man, for those 82 brothers that just transformed their lives, man. Really love you, man. Thanks for calling in.
Love you, too, my brother. Keep up the good work.
Sure, Will. You're talking to Will. That was Will Wallace from North Shore. Working hard with partnership with NAS and Emerge and a lot of other great organizations to make that happen. I'm going to go back to 7329. I think they had something to say, and then we'll probably close out with Mama Tree. 7329, how you doing? 7329. I don't think 7329 is ready. I want to talk a little bit about we just had a youth event. We had all the young people together. We're at McDonald's having a great time. I mean, having a really wonderful time. Young people are talking about how wonderful it is. We're talking about plans for the future. What we want to do is fundraising and all that. And all of a sudden, what happened, Mama Treese? What happened?
Where is it at? 347.
Oh, wait a minute. What was she not talking to me? You're not talking to me, right?
Yeah, hello. How you doing? I'm back.
Okay, so we're talking about the youth event we had. Tell me what happened. Why did we get so much violence in a youth meeting at McDonald's just trying to serve youth? What makes people do those crazy things? That was a mental health moment. Our training kicked in. But why do you think people act that way?
Well, I think, because they act without thinking. That's not a act with a thought. They didn't think about the consequences. They didn't think about what could have happened to them after the fact. You know, they just acted out. They didn't think about they could have hurt some kids or innocent grandmother or innocent mother. And the kids, I've been getting calls from the game to let me know, Mama Treese, I am so sorry. I could have hurt you. So it wasn't an act of thought.
And so one of the things we have to do is connect with these kids and let them realize that you think that you're hurting one person, but you're hurting a community. And I think we have to stay on top of that to make that happen. Any closing thoughts, Mama Treese, before I let you go?
9262. Yes, my closing thoughts are Minnesota, wake up. We hear it every morning from KMOJ, wake up. And it's not just wake up and get up in the morning, it's wake up from all our activities, all the things that we do on a daily basis. Let's wake up. Let's get up. Let's wake up in the schools. Let's wake up in the doctor's offices. Let's wake up in our homes. Let's wake up in the community action things that we do. Let's just wake up as a community. And with that said, let's stand, folks. Let's do this as in unity. Love y'all.
You listen to Blog Talk Radio right here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, nationwide, going all across the country. I want to thank all our callers for calling in. See you next week.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Man, it gets destruction because you know that we are best. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. All the streets be keeping real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I see was
dad, I blue. So just show my love. You know, look at me, I'm innocent, and I'm telling him I need to protect him.
Wow.
And he went on this whole rampage about me.